beauty and skincare is always a hot topic around here, and today I want to tell you about a new product line I've discovered that I think you will like, Exponent Beauty. Listeners of the show will receive 20% off their purchase. More details on that in a minute. Exponent Beauty is a skincare brand with a line of activated anti-aging serums that are clinically proven to reduce fine lines and wrinkles. The beauty of Exponent Beauty is their innovative form factor. The powders are activated with a quadruple hyaluronic acid serum in their patented precision-dosed dispenser. The packaging is gorgeous, and the dispenser itself is refillable, so it has also reduced plastic waste. Exponent Beauty's line of serums can be found in med spas and spas and dermatologists' office around the country. The line is dermatologist recommended and clinically proven to reduce those fine lines and wrinkles, and to increase brightness and radiance, and to firm skin without irritation. No more expired or underutilized products with Exponent Beauty, just high-quality skincare with ingredients that work. Go to exponentbeauty.com and use code TELL20 for 20% off a purchase of $100 or more. That's Exponent, E-X-P-O-N-E-N-T, Beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y.com and use code TELL20, T-E-L-L, the numbers 20, for 20% off your purchase of $100 or more. And I have 10 things to tell you. And you have 10 things to tell. This show is about connection with each other and with ourselves. And the hope is that the things we talk about here will be fuel for better conversations and a personal awareness. This is an interactive podcast. Each episode has a prompt and a topic that I want you to take to your journal, text to your best friend, or answer on social media using the hashtag 10 things to tell you. This is a show about digging deeper and sharing our stuff. I'll go first. Of all the things that are unusual about my life, and believe me, I am aware that there are so many things that are unusual about our life in Los Angeles, in Hollywood. But one of the biggest has got to be the massive fish tank in our house. We have had an extra large fish tank, like a Vegas-style fish tank, in our house for almost a decade because of my husband Jeff's deep and abiding love of animals, specifically fish. And every single time that I share the Tremaine tank online, like on Instagram stories or whatever, I always get a million questions about the tank, about Nick Tiemens, who takes care of our tank and has made many appearances in my Instagram lives. And so I have been wanting to do an episode for a long time with Nick, the founder of Infinity Aquariums. I'm going to let Nick tell you more about how he got into the aquarium business. He has such a great story. And then he is also going to answer some of your most asked questions about fish, fish tanks, and of course, our fish tank at our new house. This is our second tank. We moved houses here in Los Angeles about 6 months ago. We upgraded all of our equipment. We got some new fish. I'm going to let him talk all about that. Now, the basics of our fish tank, just so you know what we're talking about here in this conversation, it is a 1,500-gallon tank. It's about 10 feet long, 5 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and when it is filled with water, it weighs over 20,000 pounds. Yes, it is nuts. I know. I totally know. So joining in my conversation with Nick is my husband, Jeff Tremaine, who is the driving force, really the sole force of the family decision to have such a big fish tank in the house, in our literal dining room. Jeff joins us for the beginning of the conversation. Then he has to step away, take a phone call. He comes back. I left all of that in the audio. I don't normally do that, but because it was just such a real life moment, it was such a real conversation that Nick and I and Jeff were having that I wanted you to experience it that way too, sort of just us in our house talking about the fish tank. After you listen to this, you will for sure want to go follow Nick and his company on Instagram so that you can see some of their gorgeous fish tank installs and projects. You can see photos of all of it on their website, infinityaquariums.com, and they are at Infinity Aquariums on Instagram. People have long asked for me to do an episode with Nick, and so I am excited to share this conversation with you with Nick Tiemens, the owner of Infinity Aquariums. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
I'm so excited we're doing this.
Me too. I actually was thinking about this all day. This is fun. I actually am glad to sit down with you and talk about aquariums.
Well, you've become kind of like Insta-famous on my Instagram.
We both have traded, followers, I think. Some of my friends are now watching your content and listening to the podcast. So I think there's a big group that's going to join us today.
Well, welcome fish people to my reading parties and selfies and all the things that I normally post. But my people who've been following me for a long time love when I post about our fish tank. And then when I post about the fish tank and we do a live or something, I never know the answers to the questions. So I'm like, We got to ask Nick.
Yeah. Jeffrey?
What?
Are you joining us?
In a minute. I have to do a call.
Okay.
How long is your call going to take?
I don't know.
Is your call happening right now?
It's 4:15.
Okay. Do you want to sit here until 4:15 or do you want to leave?
I can do that.
What time is it now?
4:05.
Okay.
I'll give you 10 minutes of just pure genius about the
right
art of fish keeping.
Dropping knowledge.
Whenever I do an Instagram live or anything like that and people ask me questions about the fish tank, I'm like, I have no idea. We have to ask Nick. And so the few times that I've had you on, including the install day for our new tank.
Yes. We broke the internet.
We broke the internet. It was an explosion of fish tank content.
Yes, that was a great day.
It was a great day. And I knew then that I wanted to sit down and have this conversation with you because people are so interested in your job and how you got here and like your company and all the cool things you do. And so we're going to talk about all of that today. And we're going to also answer some listener questions because people always have tons of questions about the tank.
Excellent.
But let's just start with a little bit of your backstory. Like, where did you grow up? I don't even know that.
Well, I was born in Iowa and right on the Iowa-South Dakota border. And I lived in a small town called Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Well, not a small town, like 100,000 people until I was 12 years old. And then I moved to Chicago and lived in Chicago for 12 years. That's where I went to high school and obviously got into the fish business and kind of found my footing in life. And then I moved to LA in 2004. With the goal to start what is now Infinity Aquarium Design.
But wait, back up, because I want to hear about how, when in Chicago, you fell into this. But hold on, you are breathing so loud. You're actually like gorilla breathing into my microphone.
See?
I love you so much.
Gorilla
but like,
breathing.
Gorilla breathing.
It is distracting me.
So hard.
Okay. Like, it's distracting me so hard.
I don't need to be in here. This is the story.
Well, then leave. I mean, I want you to come back, though, when it's time to talk about our tank. That's why I didn't want... How long you were going to be on with Eric.
Keep going.
Back in Chicago.
Yeah, in Chicago. Isn't there a story about, like, what happened that got you?
Okay. So, let's go back to 92, when I was 12 years old. I had just this overwhelming desire to become a certified scuba diver because I found out that was the minimum age to get your junior open water dive certification. So I hounded my mother until she finally said yes. So at 12 years old, I finally got scuba certified and was diving the most gross lakes and rivers in Illinois. Like, there was no tropical reef in Illinois, so I had to settle for what was ever in my backyard. But that's when I started to really fall in love with the world underwater at that young age. So it was always a dream of mine to one day be on some tropical reef. Around that same time, the Shedd Aquarium, which is in Chicago, opened up its Oceanarium, which is where all the mammals, the dolphins and whales, were. And I could not get enough of that aquarium. I was there all the time. So that's where I was really first exposed to a grand aquarium. You know, they have I think in the center of that aquarium, they have a 11,000-gallon tropical reef, like a larger version of what you have. And I was just enamored by it. So from a very young age, I wanted to somehow, some way, find my way into that world underwater.
This is a personality type because, Jeff, you're also this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like when you were little, you like really connected.
Yeah. It's a personality type.
If you can see my face, I'm like baffled.
Man, a few words, but I get it because I think
I'm afraid to talk because I have to breathe.
Well, the one thing I know Jeff and I have in common is no matter where we travel to, the local aquarium is usually on our checklist, correct?
Absolutely.
So that sticks with me even into my 40s where I was just in Washington, D.C. and had to check out the Baltimore Aquarium. If I go to Chicago, even though I lived there for many years.
You went to the Baltimore Aquarium?
We tried, but we got up there and we didn't make it in time for them to let us in. But anywhere I go, I have to see the local aquarium. And, you know, it's just always on my list. So
Jeff is that way, too. When we travel with our family, or even if it's just a trip, me and him, he will drag me to the aquarium. And I've been to actually beautiful, amazing aquariums, including the Shedd Aquarium just a few years ago when mm-hmm. we took a family trip to Chicago.
Yeah, it's one of the best.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, so there was obviously that love of the world underwater. There's also a Michael Jordan element to this, which I've told you before. But, of course, growing up in the 90s, the Chicago Bulls were like the greatest dynasty ever. And Michael Jordan was, by all means, an icon to every young child growing up in the city and around the world. As I went through high school and graduated high school, I then had to figure out what I was going to do in life. And I wasn't necessarily lost, but I just didn't have a clear direction. A lot of teenagers don't, right? And a lot of people search for a while.
Most of them.
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
I started at a community college in Illinois. And then about halfway through is when I fell into the aquarium world. And then from there, it just took off. So I was going to college. I was working at the Gap. And that's kind of how I was juggling my life at the time. And I needed just a different pace in life. I needed something different. So I'll never forget the day I was sitting in front of Lake Michigan on a lunch break, just thumbing through the Chicago Reader, which is like the classified ads. And there was a posting for a $6 an hour job cleaning fish tanks. And it just hit me. I was like, well, this is perfect for me. I mean, I honestly couldn't think of a better job at that time at 20 years old, 21 years old. And of course, I had no qualifications. They wanted pet store experience and professional aquarium experience, which I had none. I had kept a couple aquariums throughout my teenage years. So I just showed up without even calling and basically convinced them to give me a shot, which they did.
And this was like a personal fish tank company? What was
it? It was a variation of what I do now. So it was a company that wasn't an aquarium store. It was owned by one person, and there was a general manager who oversaw 10 maintenance technicians. And we would all just go around the city of Chicago and clean fish tanks at doctor's offices, schools, you know, whatever, residences. But the largest aquarium was maybe 200 or 300 gallons, because 20 years ago, the aquarium industry was so different. You would never see an aquarium the size of yours in a home. It just wasn't common. But that's how I started out. And at the time, the general manager of that company was Joe, who's my business partner now. He was a little older than me, so he kind of felt like a big brother to me, and he literally took me under his wing because I had a million questions and I wouldn't shut up. But I also soaked up everything like a sponge. So he essentially gave me a tutorial every step of the way, and then we became best friends. So he was my boss, but he was my friend. And
was he also, or is he also, like a fish person? Because you could also just be like a businessman.
So most of the people that do this professionally start out as what we call hobbyists, people who get into it in their childhood and take care of aquariums and graduate from freshwater to saltwater to coral reef to whatever the next big thing is, and then just can't get rid of that bug, so they have to do it for a living.
Joe's a trip. Joe used to breed snakes, too. He was like a early breeder of different exotic snakes.
Again.
Huge snakes.
Yeah.
Like 20-foot pythons.
Again, this is a personality time.
I'm right in that wheelhouse. I love it. I love talking to Joe.
We're not getting snakes.
Okay. I'm just...
Yeah, I'm with you on the snakes. I'm with you on the snakes. I can't do snakes.
So how'd you go from being a $6 an hour aquarium cleaner, even learning all of that knowledge and everything, like it's still quite a leap.
So this is where Michael Jordan comes in. About 3 weeks into my new job, Joe came to me and he said, hey, we got a really big project coming up. Are you interested in going on your first install and learning how we install these big aquariums? Well, it turns out it's from Michael Jordan's house.
Oh, my God.
And for anyone who knows anything about that guy or who grew up in Chicago, his home is iconic. It's in Highland Park, Illinois. It's got his jersey number 23 on the iron gates. Tourists are there all the time. So it was like a childhood dream to work in aquariums as much as it was a childhood dream to go to Michael Jordan's house, let alone meet him, his wife at the time, his kids, get to know him personally. Because once the install was done, Joe and I were the technicians. So just like I come to your house every Tuesday, I would go to Michael Jordan's house every Monday. And he had just retired from the Washington Wizards, so he was home. He was there all the time. And I'm not joking when I say this, it was life-changing. Because I looked up to him so much, and I was doing what I loved working for Michael Jordan. Like, I say this to people all the time. Being in the aquarium industry, I meet everyone from every walk of life, and that's the commonality. And we can sit down and talk for hours about fish tanks, no matter if they're from another country, if they're older than me, younger than me. You know, it's incredible. So in that moment, I'll never forget, that was August of 2002. In that moment, I thought, this is what I got to learn how to do for a living. At the time, you know, to find out what Michael paid for not only his aquariums, but also for the annual maintenance, I was like, well, this is obviously where the career's at. And that's when I started to thinking, I need to go to Hollywood and do this for all the movie stars and all the, you know, young rappers and entrepreneurs and actors. And
because is it kind of like a status symbol thing?
It was. At one point, it was. If you had a big aquarium in your home, it was just like having a big expensive car in the garage at one point. Now, I would say no. Now, the aquarium industry is so relevant around the world that people truly love the hobby and they want to be a part of it. That's what I'm seeing, especially in the last 5 years.
Well, and also you have to care about it. Like, we don't have our fish tank as a status symbol. Jeff has had to leave the room, but he's super passionate about the actual fish. Like, that's not the type of status symbol he would ever choose.
Right.
But also it's so involved and, you know, like it's invasive in a way, like invasive mm-hmm. in your home and everything that like you wouldn't do it. It takes so much more than a fancy car in the garage.
100%. And then you got to deal with me every week too, right? It's like you get a car, it sits in the garage. It's not like the mechanic comes every Tuesday for 2 hours and walks across your living room 20 times. So,
well, I don't mind you coming, but I mean, there is an element to it always being on Jeff's mind. Like, we were out of town once. This was years ago and things have changed since then, but our whole neighborhood lost power.
I remember that.
And he panicked because at the time we didn't have generators. Now we do, and mainly because of this. But he's like sort of like any pet. He's always sort of has the tank on his mind.
Yeah, that makes me feel so good. I'm so proud of Jeff because he really does accept the responsibilities that I give him to really care for this on his end. But you're right. Think about my night. Sometimes I lose sleep because I've got so many of these aquariums around town. And if there's a power outage, like last night, we had rain for the first time. And I'm like, if something goes out, you know, I got to be ready to go.
Mm-hmm. So. This episode is sponsored by Rothy's. If there is one thing that the pandemic has made clear the past 18 months in the style section, it's that no one has time for uncomfortable shoes. I surely don't, and that is why I'm excited to partner with Rothy's. The number one word that customers use to describe Rothy's shoes is comfortable, and I couldn't agree more. I have two pair. I wear them all the time. Their seamless design is the secret sauce behind what makes their shoes unique and blister-free from the very first wear. Their styles come in several different colors and shapes made out of recyclable materials like water bottles and marine plastic. I received the point, that's the shape of the shoe, the point, in the color ecru, which is a pretty neutral taupe. I can wear it with so many things. These flats go with so much in my closet. But you want to know the very best part about Rothy's shoes and bags? They are fully machine washable. This is why I felt comfortable getting that light-colored shoe. You can throw your stinky shoes right into the washer on delicate and hang them to dry. They are as good as new. Another fun thing going with Rothy's right now is their exclusive autumn collection. Nothing says cozy like plush merino wool, and for the third year in a row, Rothy's is launching styles in machine washable merino wool. To help us welcome the fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something special for us. Right now, for a limited time, you can get $20 off your first Rothy's purchase at rothys.com/you. That's Rothy's, R-O-T-H-Y-S, .com/you, Y-O-U, for $20 off your first purchase.
So just in your own mind, like, I feel like this is very business forward and very progressive thinking for you to think, okay, if Michael Jordan has this, other celebs or these type of people are going to want this. So I need to go where that is.
Yeah, it was a big move. It was the right age. I was at that age where, you know, money was never the goal. Ever. Even to this day, it doesn't motivate me to, you know, grow or do different things. It was always that I loved the idea of working a job doing what I love. And, you know, when I moved out here, I was 24 years old. I was not afraid to put my tail between my legs and go back to Chicago if I needed to. And I just really had fun with it. And I was always honest about it. You know, I never tried to cut corners or do things that I thought would put any fish or people in jeopardy. And I think it paid off in the long run.
But how long had you worked for the Chicago company before you felt ready to be able to do it on your own in LA?
About a year.
What?
Yeah, about a year. And you know, that actually says a lot about Joe, because Joe didn't come out here when I came out here. What happened was I was in LA for about 6 months, and I realized that although I had a good foundation, I wasn't the expert that he was. And so after about 6 months of living here, I just started pounding on his door, you know, via phone calls and saying, you have to come out here. You've got to leave your whole life in Chicago and come start this business with me, because otherwise you'll just be managing the fish company, you know, until it gets boring or until you want to do something else. There's such an opportunity out here. And I think we were pretty advanced in what we were doing back in Chicago. So when I came out here in 2004 in L.A., I already thought we had a one-up on what the industry could offer in this city. And I just kept bugging Joe, and it took a year. But I'll never forget, one day he called me and goes, is the offer still stand? And it stood, and he moved out here, and we were making $100 a week at the time. We made no money, but we loved it, and we worked hard. And, man, it's just such a joyride every time I think back on those last 18 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, 18 years, a lot has happened. One of the things that happened, this is how we met you, is that there were a couple of different fish tank TV shows that became pretty popular. I actually have no idea if they were, like, objectively, I can't tell you if they were actually popular or if I just am married to someone who loves these type of shows.
Yeah, I think it's probably both. I think you are. Yeah. Would you have even watched if Jeff wasn't watching?
Right. Sometimes I have mentioned these shows to people, like, they're like popular shows, and people are like blank stare, like they're like, what? And I'm like, oh no, but this is a big show. Anyway, there were a few of them. We watched them all. I think there were at least two. We watched them all. And one day, Jeff and I were supposed to be going on a date night, and he was like, I just want to swing by this fish store in Glendale. Uh-huh. This was obviously pre-tank. This was years and years ago. And I was like, oh, my God. So on our way to, like, nice dinner, we went to this fish tank store, which he would do for fun. Just on his free time, he would go to fish tank stores and look at them. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted I took a picture of a little fish in a tank at this tiny little store in Glendale, and I tweeted that my husband was obsessed with the Animal Planet show Tanked. And so therefore on date night, I find myself in this weird place. And like it was a total joke to me.
That's great.
So that was in the evening. So it's date night. By 7:30 in the morning, the next morning, I had an email from the producer of Tanked that was like, I saw your tweet.
Yep. Yep.
Would you be interested in having a tank? And Nick, the only reason I forwarded this email to Jeff, I did not respond to this email, is because we had a baby at the time.
That's
and
right.
He had been up with the baby all night. He had like taken nighttime colic duty or whatever. My kid didn't have colic, but like he had been up with the baby all night. We were exhausted. And I like was so grateful he had, you know, really stepped up and let me sleep. And so I was like, here's, I'm going to throw
your
you a
reward.
Bone. Yeah. Clearly
so
not knowing where this was going to go.
You could have totally kept that email just between you and the producer and it may have never happened, huh?
Yeah, for real. I'll just say that. But anyway, so I said, you'll never guess this email I got. And I forwarded it to Jeff and he got in touch with the producer and then we started the install process, which was a long thing, and we're part of the show Tanked. We were an episode of the show Tanked. But those guys are based in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put us in touch with you. You helped with all that and then, of course,
right.
took over the maintenance of our tank at our other house that we have moved out of now.
Yeah. There's a really cool, even further backstory, which is how I got connected with the guys at Tanked, which it's just so funny how you look back on life and you're like, wow, look at this, how this all brought us here today. So but going back to starting Infinity Aquarium Design, when Joe finally moved out in 2005, at the time, ATM, Acrylic Tank Manufacturing, which is the company that had the show Tanked, they were one of two companies, the other being Living Color in Florida, who were known for doing these larger aquariums. Again, the aquarium landscape was totally different 20 years ago.
So just two in the whole nation.
There were a couple others, but they were known. ATM was known for kind of doing the West Coast, and Florida was Living Color was known for doing the East Coast. And I said to Joe, we've got to go to Vegas. This is 2005. And introduce ourselves to these guys because they're going to do an install in LA and they're going to need someone to service that aquarium. We know how to do these high-end aquariums. They weren't as everywhere as they are today. You would see them once or twice a year. You wouldn't see them every day like we do.
Hold on. You keep saying that like they've become super common. I don't think they're common.
I think you'd be shocked at how common they are. Like almost every major development that's going up in LA is considering having an aquarium or a pond or some type of fish feature in it these days.
In the house or like
yes.
in the... Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And especially with COVID, which is a whole other story, our industry grew by probably 30% in 2020.
Fascinating. Okay, but
fascinating.
Wait, but keep going. So
okay.
you... Because I think it's like... we can talk about fish, but also like this is a business story to me. Like,
yes.
I just think it's so interesting that you were thinking in this way.
Well, so when Joe moved here in 2005, I said, we got to go to Vegas. We got to introduce ourselves to these guys at Acrylic Tank Manufacturing so that when they do an install in LA, they don't have to worry about how the tank's going to get cleaned. Because at the time, that's what they would do. It's like, we'll come to LA, we'll build your tank, but then good luck. You're going to have to figure out how to clean it. So we went to Vegas. We flew out there on like a Tuesday morning. We took Brett out to lunch. Brett was one of the stars of the show Tanked. And we told him, you need to give us your service in LA when you do an install. And over the lunch, we convinced him. And so from 2005 on, anytime they do an installation in LA, they would let us service the tank afterward. So that was a big part of us building our brand because our service is essentially what keeps the lights on. You know, we do these installations, but we're maintaining all the aquariums we build in LA. So we had a relationship with them early on and we're with them when they got picked up by a production company. We're with them, you know, meaning we were servicing aquariums for them when they shot their pilot. And then seasons 1 and 2, you guys were season 2, we would maintain all of the aquariums that the show Tanked did. So we did the Magic Castle, we did one for Betty White, we did one for Malibu Wines, and then we did the Jackass tank for you and Jeff. And at that time, there were three shows on the air, Tank being one. Fish Tank Kings was the other one with the Florida company. And then we had one on HGTV, a little short-lived, very short-lived blip in the world of TV. But then at that time, we felt we needed to distance ourselves. We had nothing personal with the Tank, but we didn't want to be the Tanked cleaning company. We had our own brand. We had our own core values, our own ideas as to where we wanted to go with the company. So after season two, we amicably parted ways. They found another service company that did a wonderful job. And then we started doing our own thing aside from Tank. It just so happened that was the year that they shifted to doing only celebrities. So all of the people that wanted Tanks that weren't famous, guess who they called? They called us. And that's really when we started to see real growth in our company. It was because Tanked was on the air. People knew about aquariums. They were being showcased on a grand scale. Now people wanted them in their homes. But unless they were some A-list celebrity, they weren't going to get on the show Tanked. So they had to call us.
Right. So you think those TV shows contributed to the popularity of like, oh, I think it made people just think, oh, I can have this in my house. You never even thought that they could have them
right.
in their house.
The shows did wonders for our industry. It put such a huge breath into our industry. And now is creating innovation, and we're doing things in a better way, in a more wholesome way as a result of that show.
I do want to talk a little bit about your company's core values, and like, I love your tagline, where art meets science, and I just love the way you talk about it because it is like very passionate, like where you talk about it in a really caring way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, thanks. I really love what I do. We love the animals we care for. And Joe and I were just talking about this the other day. We love our clients so much. I mean, we almost become family in a sense, maybe like second cousins, you know, but we're around all the time, and we know you guys so well that it's just, we care about you guys and appreciate you guys. But yeah, where art meets science is kind of our slogan. We feel that in anything you do, if you can find a creative aspect and a technical aspect, and make those perfect and find that crossroads, you can have success, whether you're podcasting or building aquariums or building a car or writing a book or, you know, playing the trombone. Whatever you do, you have to put your own creative touch on it and then use your theory and your education to do it the right way. And that's what makes you unique and individual in any job.
But how are you learning? Because this isn't like, you know, you can't just like go buy a book and then boom, you're done. Like, are you just learning by experience?
Well, there's basic science as a foundation. So there's basic chemistry and physics that we have to know going into this. But then it's a commitment to the hobby. So we go to all the trade shows. We are online all the time. I watch every YouTube video, whether it's a popular channel or someone new. And then we interact with our peers and figure out what they're doing or what they did wrong and share the information. I'm always very humble about the fact that we don't know everything, and I learn from people, including my clients, every day. There's so much I've learned from Jeff just because he's into some of the most oddball fish that we never usually keep in the aquarium industry, that it's allowed me to go outside my normal bubble of what fish I'm going to get for an aquarium and meet new people in different countries or different wholesalers in different states and obtain these fish so that we can bring them in. It's just a constant learning experience.
Yeah, because when we moved, which was in spring of 2021, we moved houses. We'd been in our last house for 11 years. We got that Tank in 2012. And so, you know, it was almost 10 years old. It was definitely due for some maintenance upgrades and things like it, our moving had nothing to do with the fish tank, but it was like a good time to like kind of start fresh.
Yes.
We didn't bring our old tank. We got a new tank, and you like knew all of the state of the art equipment. I mean, there's so much in the equipment room, and I've showed this on Instagram. It's kind of mind blowing, but then also I was like, how do you even know how to do this?
It's like a laboratory, isn't it? I can't tell you how proud I am of the way that turned out. And that's the culmination of me putting that little voice in Jeff's ear for the last 10 years. Hey, look at this last project. Look, you could do this. We could do this on your tank. We'll wait for now. Okay. Hey, look at this one we just did. You know, we could do this for your tank. And then I think when the time came, he was just like, hey, you know all that cool stuff you showed me? let's do it, you know?
Well, I feel like I might be misreading it because I don't totally get y'all's conversations. But from the way I observe it, Jeff cares less about all of that stuff. Like, he wants it to work well and function and everything. But, like, Jeff is, like, so into the actual fish.
Yes. Yes. Probably more than 99% of our clients. I mean, it's amazing. But it's great. I mean, we're cut from the same cloth when it comes to fish. So I don't ever get tired talking about it. I mean, he and I talk probably every day, I think, since we've installed the tank, because we have such a broad game plan of what we're doing with this aquarium over the next 6 months, that we're constantly keeping tabs on what's going on at home versus what's going on out in my world and where we're sourcing certain fish from. So,
yeah, I'm going to have him come in a second and you guys can talk a little bit more about the specifics of our tank for the people who care about that stuff and just want to hear you geek out on of your fish stuff. But I want to answer, while we're waiting on him, I want to answer a few questions that I got on Instagram that are a little more broad and just for you. But before we do that, I do want to say, because you mentioned it about coming into people's homes and getting to know your clients, because you are literally coming into the house and have been for 10 years now, mm-hmm. like, you get to see, like, our kids grow up. You know, like, our dog and, like, our family members when they're visiting. And, like, you know, you're, like, a part of, you know.
It's great. We love it. And you know, I can't tell you how many clients we have who had 10-year-olds back in 2004 when we started. And now they're, you know, they're in their careers and they're adults. It's just amazing. So, you know, I've gotten to know your kids well and they're no longer babies, you know. It's just amazing to see it. And, you know, this aquarium will be here for years to come. So I'm sure they'll be out of the nest and I'll still be here every Tuesday scrubbing away, you know.
I know, but I like it because it feels to me like a version of community.
I agree.
You know, and I really like that. Like, it feeds my heart. Okay.
It's nice. Thank you for saying that. I always tell people, without our clients, you know, people take chances on us. And there's so much trust you and Jeff have given me, not only with the tank, but of course, you know, just being a part of your life. So I don't take it for granted. It's great.
No, I mean, it is, like, not to, like, totally belabor the point, but I am just thinking about this because you have keys to our home. You're here when we're not here often. A few years ago, we were unfortunately robbed in the middle of the day.
I know.
And you were one of the people that we had to call. And, you know, we had to make some life changes after that mm-hmm. event. And you were completely on board with new security measures and
totally.
New stuff. And, like, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the people in our life that keep our life so amazing and care as much about our home as we do. Like, that they're there, you know.
I agree. That's great.
It's not every day that you find a product that you truly love and want to shout about from the rooftops. Well, friends, I have found something that I am genuinely excited to share with you today, and that is Born Shoes. Born Shoes are made with the best top quality leather with functional stitching and flexibility. They are lightweight, but they're also supportive. They are great for all casual occasions, extremely comfortable, and especially good for travel. The brand recently gifted me a pair of the Ithaca style sandals. Of course, they are beautiful. The footbed has extra foam for added comfort and with a slight heel for lift. I am positive that I could walk all over London in this pair of shoes, just like I did in my Born sandals last summer. Born Shoes offers sandals, flats, boots, and heels in several styles and color choices. Take comfort in Born Shoes. Every season, they make high-quality shoes that feel as good as they look. With artistic touches, unparalleled craftsmanship, and exquisite materials, Born designs shoes to satisfy the demands of every lifestyle. Go to bornshoes.com for a 15% discount plus free ground shipping on all full-price shoes when you use my promo code TELL. That's Born, B-O-R-N, shoes, shoes.com, and use promo code TELL, T-E-L-L, for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for a limited time. With sunshine, outdoor activities, and so many fun things to do outside, it is impossible not to enjoy all of these good weather days up ahead. Of course, we all know that more sun and fun means more sweating and, yes, more odor. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi.
Lumi is the first of its kind in the full body deodorant world and is seriously safe to use on any and every part of your body. It was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how regular body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. I especially love that Lumi deodorant is baking soda and paraben free. It is also pH balanced for safe use on all areas of your body. You can choose from a variety of fresh scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, and toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code U at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant, D-E-O-D-O-R-A-N-T, .com and use code U-Y-O-U. Okay, I'm going to ask some of these questions. Now, a lot of these questions are about fish and tanks and all that because that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
But I just have to tell you that every time I put you on Instagram, and I mean every time without fail, I get a lot of DMs asking if you are single, asking about your personal life. People think you are adorable and they need to know more.
Well, I'm sorry to break any hearts, but I have the greatest girlfriend in the world and she's not going anywhere. So,
and you guys have been together a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. She's amazing. I mean, she's so supportive of my lofty goals as a business owner and my long hours. I mean, we basically moved in with you for a month straight. We're here till 11 o'clock every night. And yeah, she's so supportive. So,
okay. And I'm happy for you about that. But I wanted to like put that question out there because I know people are going to ask. I get it every time.
Well, that's nice to know.
Another question that I get a lot of, and there's a bunch of these, they ask them in various forms, but the general gist of the question is people want to know where they should start. I mean, when I show our fish tank, it's cuckoo bananas. It's like so crazy. Like it's ridiculous. I'm very well aware of it. But most people want to start with a, you know, a small in-home tank. Like, are they supposed to go to the pet store? Are they, where are they supposed to research that? Like, do you have thoughts on that?
Yes, that's a great question. And I will start by saying we say no to way more jobs than we say yes to. Because there's three things you have to have in place in order to get into the aquarium hobby. And that's knowledge, time, and the budget. And if you don't have all three of those, and really all three of those, it's not worth getting into the hobby. So I would never suggest anyone go get an aquarium on a whim. You know, they see something cool, so they just want to go into a pet store and just buy everything. But they've never researched what it takes, what it costs, the amount of time you have to put into it. Because you're going to, unfortunately, have bad luck. And at the end of the day, that means fish die. And we don't want that. So the best way to get into the hobby, if it's something you're really considering, is to go to what we call the local fish store and spend time there speaking with someone who works there to find out what kind of money you're going to have to put in to the aquarium every month. It's not cheap. What kind of time? It's not something you can spend 5 minutes on. You know, I'm here 8 to 10 hours a month working on your aquarium. And then really what the knowledge you have to have is a foundation. You know, you got to understand fish behavior, water parameters, chemistry, science, biology, all sorts of things so that you can provide a very wonderful life for your aquarium inhabitants.
So it sounds like you're discouraging the average Jane.
100%. Yeah. I would say do not get into this hobby unless you feel like you're called to really be a part of it, because it's not something, you know, just like you wouldn't go buy a puppy because you saw, unfortunately, you know, like, I know when 101 Dalmatians came out, all of a sudden it was Dalmatians were all the craze. But it's just like you have to really want to be invested for the long term. Fish will live 10 years plus in an aquarium. So if you're ready to get into the aquarium for 10 years minimum, then start considering. But if it's something you want to do for a month and see how it goes, like, don't bother. Call me. I'll tell you more about it, and I will discourage you with pride.
Well, and you spend 8 to 10 hours a month here, but Jeff spends minimum half hour and sometimes 2 hours a night fiddling. Now, part of that is because he loves it, and he's taking the time to do it of that. But, I mean, he feeds the fish. He, right, like, really observes them. like to see if anyone's acting weird.
Yep. Your aquarium is not our average aquarium, too. This is, we went into this with the agreement, Jeff and I, that he would be as hands-on as he has been. The fish get prepared, special prepared seafood every night with vitamins, with minerals that we add. They're on a specific diet. Some are herbivores, some are carnivores, some are omnivores. There's all sorts of things that Jeff does on a daily basis for each and every individual fish.
So you're saying that all your clients do that?
No, most of our clients want to be as hands-off as possible. So their only responsibility is a daily feeding. And if they want to make it quick and easy, so they want to spend 5 or 10 minutes a day, then that dictates which fish we're going to put in the aquarium. You're not going to have special, you know, like golden puffers or even Maxine, you know, your clown trigger, where it requires certain daily prepared foods.
Also, y'all, he hand feeds the eels. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And also, I'm just going to throw this in here because I get this question every single time I do a live. When Jeff is out of town, which now hasn't been for 2 years because of COVID, but in general, Jeff does make movies. He does travel a lot. When he is out of town, I do not feed those fish. We have a dear, dear friend who also cares a lot about the tank and is really invested in the tank. And he comes when Jeff is traveling.
Yep.
Same as Josh. And he comes and takes care of those roles. But I mean, just like any other pet you have, and I know they're not pets in the same way that we're talking about like domestic pets, but any other responsibility that you have, you know, when we're not in town, someone else still has to deal with it. Again, it's something to consider if you're ever considering.
Yep. They still got to
eat. A tank. Someone asked, do you have an aquarium of your own?
Oh, I get that question all the time. I do not. Neither does Joe. And the reason is because at the end of the day, I can honestly say I need to detach from work. And if I, you know, 5 o'clock on a Friday, get home after a long week, I think the last thing I want to do is care for my own aquarium. So I prefer to put all of my knowledge and energy into your aquarium and all of our other wonderful clients. And it satisfies me just the right amount.
And you only do tanks, right? Like you're not handling koi ponds and any other fish feature that you mentioned.
Yes. So we do maintain a couple of koi ponds and have built koi ponds, but we only do that for clients that are buying aquariums.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
This is a good question. So when you're talking about selecting the fish for any tank, how do you know which fish won't attack other fish? Like, how do you understand these dynamics? Is it trial and error?
Well, there's it's definitely not trial and error. There's a compatibility that you have to know and understand. Kind of the basics of it is, you know, fish are all given a Latin name by the genus and the species. We're getting into biology here. But it typically, you don't want to put two fish of the same genus in an aquarium, let alone the same genus and species. So like, for example, one of our new fish is a gray angelfish. Okay, that's a Pomacanthus angelfish. Typically, in a smaller aquarium, you would not put two Pomacanthus angelfish, you know, whether the same or different kinds of species, but from the same genus in the same aquarium. The only way you can do that is when you're working with a large volume of water. So we're breaking that rule because we have almost 2,000 gallons of water in there. But in your standard 100, 200 gallon aquarium, you're picking fish that are very uncommon from each other. Or they come from completely different regions of the world, because the only way you can let them interact together is in tremendously large volumes of water, like they would in the wild.
So, two things. You don't put the same kinds of fish, two of the same kinds of fish, because they'll kill each other?
There can be natural aggression, territorial. They're territorial towards each other. So you usually avoid that by completely separating. That's why in aquariums, a lot of times you'll see a selection of different fish. You don't always see the same aquariums. Now, freshwater is a different world. We're talking saltwater only here. But yeah, that's typically kind of the rule of thumb. You want to separate the fish.
And then putting in fish from different regions of the world, even if you're in a large tank, an extra large tank like ours, I'm not sure I understand why they wouldn't hurt each other. They don't speak the same fish language. Like, I don't understand.
Well, no, that's a great question. It does come down to, you know, how they act in the wild. Like, some fish are predatory, naturally carnivorous. Like, for example, at one point we had a lionfish. Do you remember the lionfish?
Mm-hmm.
That we didn't want to bring that one into the new tank because it got so big. So that got rehomed when you moved. But a lionfish is a very carnivorous, predatory fish and will literally eat anything it can fit in its mouth. So some of the new fish we have going into your system are probably the size of a golf ball, but we would never be able to put that fish in with a lionfish because it would get eaten. So, you know, and then there's other fish that are very large, but all they eat is plants. And those fish can go pretty much with anyone because they're very harmonious. They're only eating algae in the wild. So, again, it's just studying. It's part of that thing I said where you got to have the knowledge as to who goes with who and just be committed to really understanding the compatibility chart, as we call it.
So we have several quarantine tanks, actually.
Yes, you do.
But the quarantine tanks that I also do sometimes show on Instagram are often used for when we get a new fish, they need to live in there first to like get used to our water, kind of see how they're going to do whatever. That makes sense to me before we put them in the main tank. But what's more interesting to me is when we have to take a fish out of the main tank and put it in quarantine because it's showing signs of sickness or something.
Sure.
Will you say about that? Like, how do you know if a fish isn't doing well?
So the two common things that we have to address in aquariums are parasites and bacterial infections. And I always tell people parasites are like the common cold in that, you know, like when you send your kids off to kindergarten, somebody's going to have a cold and it might spread or it might not. Really, parasites are always prevalent in marine water. They're always going to be there. It's just a matter of how strong your fish's immune system is. So in the event that we have a parasite outbreak or evidence of a bacterial infection, we will then remove that fish from the main tank so that it doesn't become contagious and spread it. And we will quarantine it in its own aquarium with medication until it's healthy again, and then we'll put it back in the main display.
But what are the signs that you're seeing? Like, I remember one time one of our fish had like kind of cloudy eyes.
Yeah, so one of the parasites we'll see in aquariums is called flukes. And a lot of times you'll notice a cloudy eye or it looks like the fins are deteriorating a little bit. And not to gross you out, but essentially flukes are lice. They're fish lice.
Oh, God.
I know. And so the thing is that they cannot live in freshwater. So what we'll do to, in fact, confirm that there are flukes in an aquarium is we'll take that fish and we'll do what's called a freshwater dip. So we'll put it in a bucket of freshwater just for a very short period of time. And immediately all of those flukes detach from the body and they look like contact lenses floating around in the freshwater. And if we can confirm that there are, in fact, flukes on that fish, we'll remove it, put it in quarantine, and then add a medication called praziquantel, which then causes the flukes to die off of that fish.
Oh, if y'all could see my face.
Yeah, so you had lice in your aquarium at one point. Now, the backstory, because people are going to be like, well, don't you have all this equipment to prevent that? The lice, what I believe was coming from, was the cocktail shrimp that we were feeding the eels. So part of the new rules in place for aquarium number two here is that we are not allowed to feed cocktail shrimp to the eels anymore.
What's cocktail shrimp? What Jeff was buying at Gelson's or whatever?
Yep, we were feeding them human food, and parasites can come in easily on seafood that's not cooked. And because we prepare it in a way, like by either cooking it or boiling it, we boil off those parasites, and also they don't affect human beings like they do fish. But unless you buy aquarium food only, which is prepared to guarantee that it's parasite-free, you don't know what you're bringing on the Costco seafood palette and putting in your aquarium. So,
I did not know those were the new rules.
Yep, and we're fighting it because our eels are very spoiled, and we're trying to get them to take specific food right now, which is why they're still in quarantine, because they're not eating the way we want them to. They're perfectly healthy, but we have to get them on specific foods.
Oh, Jeff has re-entered the chat, friend. We're talking about your spoiled rotten eels.
I was telling her how we're not allowing cocktail shrimp anymore because of my theory on the flukes.
I don't know if I believe your theory, but yeah.
It's a challenge sometimes, but I'm right.
I totally bought everything he said about it.
Yeah, we have a problem with the eels. We got to get the eels to eat.
Okay, so I'm going to ask him one more question about that's in this general question, and then we're going to talk about our specific tank for, like, fish geeky people.
Did he meet Michael Jordan? Did you talk about Michael Jordan?
We already did all that part. That was an hour ago. Okay, so this is one that I get in various ways, too. They ask, I'm curious about some of the cost, like most expensive fish. Now, there's a lot of costs associated with the tank, and I don't even want to get into all of that because, you know, this is, we're like talking about our personal life and also our personal preferences, like the where we chose one thing, we could have done another. But the cost of the fish, I'm totally fine to talk about because, you know, I'm first of all, I'm curious because I will tell you right now, Jeff just, quote unquote, gets new fish. And if I'm like, how much was that? He'll be like, I don't know.
well, we've been pretty modest with our choosings on these fish. We're not going for anything super rare. We're just going for stuff that Jeff likes and, you know, it's some solid fish. But I will tell you that the sky is the limit when it comes to what's out there, starting with, you know, some of the collectors in the aquarium world. You know, there's a fish called a masked angelfish that goes for about $15,000 or $20,000 right now.
What?
Yeah, there's a peppermint angelfish, which you probably can't obtain anymore, but a peppermint angelfish comes from one region of the world. They go for about $35,000.
But why would you? We've never spent anything even approaching anything like that, first of all. But why would you spend that? What if it dies?
Yeah, cross your fingers. I mean, the way they're coming in right now, so to get, for example, a masked angelfish, which is a fish from, usually they're found in Hawaii, but unfortunately we can't get fish from Hawaii right now. But if you can still obtain a masked angelfish, that's about the size of a matchbox car, and it's all white with a black face.
It's not even big?
No, it's a pygmy angel. And they come from really deep depths. So to collect them, you have to go to, I don't know, 40 meters maybe, so hundreds of feet underwater, and then you have to bring the fish up very slowly so that you don't burst their buoyancy bladder. So they have to come up just like a diver. You know, divers have to come slowly to decompress. You have to decompress these fish. So to get the fish is such a battle, uphill battle in the first place, that you're paying a premium for someone to go do that. But then when they come in and they're imported, usually the way you buy them now is through a quarantine business where they bring in the fish, they quarantine it, make sure it doesn't have any parasites, any bacterial infections. They make sure it's eating. So they go through all of that, you know, hard waiting period and headache before they sell the fish. And that's why they're sold at such a premium.
Oh, gosh. But what's like a more average, like Maxine, who's a, what's a clown trigger?
Yeah, so I would say your average saltwater fish start at about $100 and go to maybe $250, $300 for the average saltwater fish. But man, I'll tell you, there was a, speaking of freshwater fish, there was a koi that sold in Japan for $2.5 million.
This is a
collector.
Alive?
A live koi. And the reason they're so expensive is just like certain dog breeds, they come from bloodlines that go back hundreds of years. So this line of koi has been bred in Japan for hundreds of years, and they're working towards the perfect fish. And then they go to these auctions, and people pay millions of dollars for them. It's a collector.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
We have a koi pond.
We do have a koi pond. We did not purchase one single one of those koi. They came with the house.
No, I bought one.
You bought one?
Yep.
Well, I'm learning this instant. You bought a koi?
Yep.
Okay, well, what I was about...
$150.
Okay, well, thank you for coming clean about that.
You did have a very prized fish that was given to you. We talk about...
Tanked gun.
Yeah. So you... How many episodes? You did two or three episodes of
Tanked. Three episodes.
And when they came back around, you know, this was like a year after your first episode, they wanted Jeff to do a follow-up show. And I said, hey, ask him for a fish. And I said, you know, go for something good. And I said, ask him for a clarion angelfish. So a clarion angelfish comes from Mexico. And 90% of the world's population of clarion angels is found in one little island in Mexico. And they go for about $5,000 or $6,000 a piece. So I said, hey, just pitch it out to them, see if they'll go for it. And they did. And they gifted you guys a clarion angel for being on the show again. And we grew that fish out to a full adult.
We did. And it was the meanest fish. And it killed a lot of our other fish.
It's a gnarly fish.
Doesn't look like a gnarly fish. Looks like a...
It's the big orange one. Remember the big orange one?
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty orange, simple looking fish.
I remember that. You sort of took that fish in lieu of payment.
Yeah.
Right. And you... get fish as gifts from, like, your agent gives you a fish every year for your birthday?
I always know when it's Jeff's birthday because my phone starts blowing up and the emails start coming through.
Because he's a hard person to buy for, legitimately. I can tell you he's a very hard person to buy for. And so people are like, oh, I'll just get him a fish, which means I'll just call Nick, basically. Yep. And Jeff, you love, like, little fussy fish. I like big, dramatic fish that are real wow factor. You like little fussy fish.
I just like unusual fish. Some are little fussy fish. Some are just have weird habits. They're not even pretty. They just have a weird thing about them. Like,
and how do you find out about weird fish? Where do you find them? Online?
Yeah, I just know things.
Right, but it didn't, like, drop to you from above. Like, how do you know about cool fish?
Well, you'll see it on, like, scuba diving, or you'll read about it. Like, now that you're, when you're in this hobby, you learn about it. You just all look around and read things and see things and see if it's compatible. That's the biggest thing. Like, totally. That's where I didn't do great in the early days, is we got some fish that were maybe too aggressive to be in the population with the other fish we had, and it made some of our fish's lives miserable. So we're trying to be, I'm being a little more cautious going into it.
We've got a good group so far.
Yeah. Compatibility is a big issue. But I like weird little things about fish.
So for just a second, I do want y'all to be your nerdy fish selves and tell us anything that's interesting or notable about our new tank. This is for fish people who might really understand what you're talking about. But I know there's some really cool and special things about the tank and the way the tank functions, and you did it super well, Nick. So do you want to tell us anything about the tank that's interesting?
Definitely. The biggest change from what you had before is that the technology that's available in the aquarium trade wasn't available to us 5-6 years ago. So everything, literally everything, is controlled from my cell phone, from an iPad that we have hanging on the wall. Everything is monitored from temperature, pH, the salt level, the power consumption, and I can control all of that from anywhere in the world as long as I have my phone. So can Jeff. We have everything dialed in where we can push buttons to turn on lights. We can open the door to turn on lights. Everything's automated. And then as far as the maintenance goes, everything's dialed in. So I just push a few buttons and the water mixes automatically. I turn a valve and the tank fills automatically, whereas before I'd have to bring in 40 feet of hose and stretch it from one end of your basement all the way to the other end and run back and forth constantly to make sure I wasn't overfilling.
Yeah, we got bigger and more powerful stuff for a similar sized aquarium to the last one, so it's actually more efficient.
Big time. So the energy consumption is a fraction of what it used to cost. So we're doing it for pennies on the dollar versus what the last aquarium would cost to run. Mm-hmm.
I also wonder, because one of the things that I tell people is just like the pure square footage that it takes. It's not just the tank, which is what you see, but like all of the other stuff is that, like, in our other house, we had a
much bigger area to hide it.
We had like a basement area that could house all of this stuff. In our new house, we've had to take over a bedroom. It was, a smaller bedroom and bathroom. We sort of took up a lot of square footage there. But I wonder if it's different in the other house. It was, 50 feet away. All the equipment was 50 feet away in a basement. The tank was in like a man room, rec room kind of area. This, the bedroom we took over, is on the exact back side of where the tank sits, where we can see it. Does that make a difference that it's all close together or no?
No, it could have been done the same way. I think the biggest difference, though, is, this aquarium is silent. When you're standing in front of it, you don't hear it at all. Whereas your last aquarium, you could walk in the front door on the upper level and I could hear the water running and the motors pumping. This one is just so efficient and so clean and sleek. And
one of the things too, as I've gotten into the hobby and started doing my research, I would always find these different, like, we have a artificial coral reef insert. And then as you start to look around, you see, oh, my God, this person does it really well. And I kept finding pictures, and it would always go back to the same source.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, oh, man, this website has, they're so much more lush and variety of corals, and it looks more realistic. They don't do the garish colors. And Nick started working with that guy, or has been working with that guy.
Yeah, for years.
So he's like a reef insert artist?
Yeah, he's a real artist. Yeah. It's awesome, and it's a big difference. I mean, just how dense. We have the most coral per square inch.
Jeff was in along for every step of the process, which made it so unique. It's like we took two or three trips out there and handpicked which coral we wanted in what location and approved phase one, phase two, phase four until we got exactly what we wanted, and it was just such a great experience.
But you got to let them go a little bit too. They know what works well together. I mean, like, I really trusted a lot of what...
Oh, yeah, they're pure artists. From the painting to the placement to the scale, I mean, it really is like a slice of the reef.
Mm-hmm. And then on install day, when I was posting all this crazy stuff, I got some really good questions that day. And one that kind of sticks out to me because I thought, oh, yeah, I would want to ask this if I didn't already know. People wanted to know if our house smells like fish. And when they asked that, I was like, oh, that's such a good question. I hadn't thought of it, but that is such a good question.
It shouldn't, does it? You haven't noticed anything, right? I know we were talking about Jeff's hands after he feeds.
Yeah, but... my hands kind of have a perpetual...
It's hot, y'all. It's like so sexy. You wouldn't believe it.
No, I figured it. We've got it down to where I know how to clean my hands to get the smell off.
Like surgeon style almost.
No, you know what? It's like, you got me that little aluminum with that metal soap thing, mm-hmm. and then mouthwash. You
Listerine, yep.
Rinse your hands with mouthwash. And yep. It's strange.
Yeah, I did a lot of Googling for, like, how to not smell like fish hands. But the house itself does not smell at all like fish. No. Or it doesn't even smell weird.
Yeah, there's really no... Other than there's, like, a little bit of humidity smell. Yeah. That
in that room.
In that room.
Yeah.
But it's not from... rotting food or anything. There's nothing that would smell. Everything else is all that is contained and
yeah. No, it doesn't smell. That's the short answer. Mm-hmm. It smells good.
When people think clean. When people think about fish, they're fish smelling. They're thinking about dead fish.
Yeah,
right.
We don't have dead fish.
We don't have dead fish. No, we have perfectly healthy swimming fish, and they are.
And not gonna remember, we've really been cautious. We've done this at a very reasonable pace.
Yep.
Which, when we did the first tank, we did it for a TV show, and they just did it on the TV schedule where you have to just, you know, flood it with fish right away. And that's not the best way to do things. And so we've been really slow about introducing fish and letting all of that bacteria and everything that needs to support their lives develop at a natural rate. So...
And we're going strong. Our water parameters are about as perfect as they could be.
Yeah, so. And we've had no casualties. So
yeah.
Well, knock on wood.
Can I say something real quick before I forget?
Yeah.
That I think everyone listening would love to know. You guys are the first clients that have invited me to go house hunting with you. Because I don't think people know that I was with you and your realtor making sure that whatever house you bought would have a place for
an aquarium. Were stage two. We'd find a house. We thought, this is cool, but... can I really do what I think I can do with the tank here? And I'd bring you in to consult and just make sure.
Wait, you really haven't had other clients do that?
Nope.
But it's actually a major consideration. I mean, we couldn't have bought a house that wouldn't be able to sustain the tank. It's literally Jeff's, like, biggest passion after our children.
I will say, well, it's a pretty big passion. I will say most of our projects are new home construction. So we're often brought in before, like, the blueprints are finalized. And we will say, okay, let's knock this wall down or put this pipe over here. But that was the first time I was along for the ride and saying, yeah, we can do a tank in this house for sure.
But you've done some for like spec homes.
Yeah.
Which aren't
some wild
necessarily,
ones.
You know, I understand if you're building a home if I'm building a home, then I'm going to design it with a fish tank in mind and have all the, I'll know that I need all this extra space for all the equipment, but in a spec home where you're going to sell this house and they maybe want the aquarium or maybe don't.
It's a crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot. There's a lot of extra.
Those houses that are being built though are there's nothing they don't have, you know? So to leave the aquarium out would be like leaving the golf simulator out.
Right.
It's like, I would never use the golf simulator, but I would look at the aquarium. So if a golfer buys the house, the fish tank will go, you know?
Wait, that's so silly. You did mention before we started recording that you're working on a new project that's also kind of crazy. Can you share any more about it?
Yeah, it's a spec home, so there's no owner yet. It's going to hit the market for $100 million in Bel Air. And the aquarium that we built for the living room is 15 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 6 feet tall. So a foot taller than yours, five foot longer than yours.
For the living room.
For the living room. In a house that is not purchased by anyone.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
We got the job 2 years ago, and we're still not finished with it. But the tank is there. A lot of times for these bigger houses, this is one of many where we've put the aquarium in before the house is framed because it won't fit through any door once it's done. So the only way you can get it out is to literally saw it apart.
Wow.
So the house being 35,000 square feet, the tank went in 2 years ago. Well, they're still building the house. Once the house is built and the electricity's turned on, we'll go on and finish it.
Wow.
Yeah. And hope the new owner loves the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's a maintenance account. That's a dream for anybody. But if the new owner doesn't like it, it'll be the first thing to go, for sure, after all that money.
Wow. Circling back to about taking our time with the tank, that is not my fault. I have been pressuring Nick to get new fish, and he has...
I push back.
Forced me to be boring and slow-paced.
Okay, we did it. Thank you, Nick, for coming and
Thanks, Laura, talking to me about all of this. My pleasure. I'm glad we got to get into the nitty-gritty of the fish
world. Did Michael Jordan call in? Did he?
No. Nick, tell everyone where they can find you online, and they can... you know, watch more of the tanks you're doing and sort of see the work you're doing.
So Instagram's a good place, at Infinity Aquariums. And our website is infinityaquariums.com.
Yes, you guys are going to go need to check that out. Also, I put hashtag Tremaine Tank on my Instagram, laura.tremaine, pretty regularly. We've done several lives. I've been doing some reading parties in front of the tank. I sometimes, now that it's a major part of my day, I sometimes just say good morning from the tank. So if you want to follow along there, I would love to have you. But this has been a very fun and interesting and unusual for this show chat. I'm Laura Tremaine, and you've just listened to the 10 Things to Tell You podcast. You can find the show notes and subscribe to episode emails at 10thingstotellyou.com/podcast. And you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at 10 Things to Tell You. Remember, this is an interactive podcast. I have 10 things to tell you, and you have 10 things to tell. So take this topic to your journal or a friend, or post on social media using the hashtag 10 Things to Tell You. These episodes are meant to bring connection with others and ourselves and spark better conversations. Thanks for listening. Now go share something.